Thanks for tuning in to another situational report from SITREP Israel, providing automated situational updates covering security developments in Israel and the region. Updates weekdays at 9 a.m. and 20 p.m. Israel time. And now your host, Mr. Mike Radish.
I'm Daniel Rosehill, based in Jerusalem, reporting for SITREP Israel. Welcome to the evening edition of SITREP Israel, our automated situational report covering Israel's security fronts. The SITREP was generated on Thursday, the 14th of May 2026 at 18:57 Israel time, 15:57 UTC. Hezbollah drone wounds 3 in north as Israel-Lebanon talks resume in Washington. May 14th, 15:57 ECRI 18:57 Israel, evening edition. Bottom line up front. A Hezbollah explosive drone struck a parking lot at Rosh Hanikra National Park in northern Israel today, wounding 3 civilians too seriously without triggering warning sirens. The IDF called it a blatant violation of ceasefire understandings. The attack landed as Israeli and Lebanese delegations opened a third round of direct talks in Washington, where Israel proposed a framework for phased Hezbollah disarmament and expanded political ties. In the Strait of Hormuz, a commercial vessel was seized and diverted toward Iranian waters, while a livestock carrier sank off Oman. India condemned the sinking and confirmed 114 crew were rescued. The IDF expanded airstrikes across southern Lebanon and the western Bekaa. Prime Minister Netanyahu announced Israel would sue the New York Times for defamation over a column alleging widespread rape of Palestinian prisoners. And in Gaza, troops killed a Palestinian operative who crossed the ceasefire line. Now, turning to the regional sections. In Lebanon, the drone attack on Rosh Hanikra is the day's dominant development. But it was not the only activity on the northern front. The IDF intercepted a suspicious aerial target over southern Lebanon and reported that Hezbollah surface-to-air missile attempts against an Israeli drone had failed. Hezbollah also fired rockets and mortars at Israeli troops. No injuries were reported. Israeli drones struck a car in Kuseba and artillery shelled Fru Tulin, Talin and Wadi al-Lusi. Al-Manar reported expanded Israeli airstrikes across the south and into the western Bekaa. For its part, Hezbollah issued multiple claims. A loitering glider attack on a Merkava tank in Tabi, strikes on soldiers in the Deir Surian River, technical equipment at the Balat site, an artillery bunker in Adiyase, and a gathering of soldiers in Reshaf. The group also released video of a missile strike on the Shraga base south of Nahariya. A woman, Manal Reda Nassar, died entire from wounds sustained in an Israeli airstrike on March 4. And Bellingcat published satellite imagery showing at least 46 of 54 towns and villages within the IDF's so-called yellow line in southern Lebanon have been heavily damaged or flattened. A story that has received little attention in Gaza, IDF troops operating in the north identified a Palestinian operative who crossed the ceasefire line and approached forces. The troops killed the operative. The IDF said forces remain deployed in accordance with the ceasefire agreement and will continue to remove immediate threats. Away from the kinetic picture, the UN reported a feasibility study is underway to examine whether Gaza's war debris could be recycled to reclaim coastal land and build artificial islands as part of reconstruction. And the global Sumud flotilla is preparing to depart from Marmaris, Turkey, with 54 vessels aiming to challenge the Israeli blockade. Israeli security officials have begun preparations and expect the flotilla to be more violent than previous attempts. On the West Bank, thousands of Israeli settlers participated in the annual flag march through the Old City of Jerusalem, heavily guarded by Israeli forces. Roads and Old City gates were closed to Palestinians. Marchers chanted anti-Arab slogans, including "Death to Arabs" and "Burn Arab Villages." Far-right minister Itamar Ben-Gvir entered the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound with settlers. describing it as a compensatory raid marking the anniversary of the occupation of East Jerusalem. Elsewhere, settlers attacked a peace activist in Ain Samia near Kafr Malik, northeast of Ramallah. Fatah convened its first leadership election in a decade with a vote for an 18-member committee expected to play a key role in the post-Abbas era. President Abbas criticized Israeli withholding of Palestinian funds in his opening remarks. And Palestinian detainee Mahmoud Nayrat was released after 4 years in Israeli detention, reportedly in poor health. On the multilateral track, the Washington talks between Israel and Lebanon opened with US Secretary of State Marco Rubio, Israeli Ambassador Yekiel Leiter, and Lebanese Ambassador Nada Hamadeh Mouad in attendance. Lebanon arrived with a dossier of alleged Israeli ceasefire violations. Lebanese Deputy Speaker Elias Boussab said the negotiations cannot be separated from US-Iran dynamics. Meanwhile, President Trump and President Xi held a state banquet in Beijing. The White House said the two leaders agreed the Strait of Hormuz must remain open for global energy, with Xi opposing militarization of the strait and signaling interest in buying more US oil. They also agreed Iran must not obtain a nuclear weapon. Secretary Rubio said China confirmed it does not support turning the strait into a military tool or imposing transit fees. At the BRICS foreign ministers meeting in New Delhi, Iran's Iraqi cast the regional conflict as resistance to US power. A separate ESCO security meeting in Bishkek focused on counterterrorism. Saudi Arabia is discussing with Gulf allies a regional non-aggression pact that would include Iran, the Financial Times reported, with European backing, and a US federal judge blocked Trump administration sanctions on UN Special Rapporteur Francesca Albanese, ruling they violated free speech protections. Moving to the analysis. First, the trend. The tempo on the Israel-Lebanon front has escalated sharply. Today's drone strike on civilians at Rosh Hanikra marks a qualitative shift toward targeting the Israeli home front, not just military positions. Hezbollah's operational risk appetite appears to be growing, likely emboldened by the diplomatic spotlight in Washington, the simultaneous seizure in the Strait of Hormuz, and the sinking of Oman add a maritime dimension absent in recent windows. The IDF's expanded airstrikes into the western Bekaa indicate a widening of the battle space. Overall, the window reflects a multi-front acceleration with Hezbollah, Iran, and their proxies testing red lines concurrently. On the information environment, Israel is framing the drone attack as a blatant violation, aiming to delegitimize Hezbollah and strengthen its hand in Washington. Hezbollah via Al-Manar is pushing a narrative of successful, precise strikes on Israeli military targets, omitting the civilian casualties. The gap between reporting and evidence is stark. Hezbollah claims military hits, but the only confirmed casualties are civilians. Iran is framing the Strait of Hormuz incidents as a response to a US illegal blockade, casting itself as a victim. The US and Israel are winning the framing war in Western media, why Iran's narrative gains traction in non-aligned forums like BRICS. The most ignored story is the Bellingcat satellite, evidence of widespread destruction in southern Lebanon, which undercuts claims of precision and proportionality, and the synthesis. The Rosh Hanikra drone strike is not a random escalation, but a deliberate Hezbollah signal that it can penetrate Israel's air defenses and strike civilians, timed to undermine Israel's diplomatic leverage in Washington. The lack of warning sirens suggests a low-altitude, slow-moving drone that evaded detection, exposing a critical vulnerability. A counter-reading is that the strike was a tactical error by a local cell. However, the precision of hitting a national park parking lot, a soft target with symbolic value, and the immediate Hezbollah silence on civilian harm point to a calculated message, we can reach our civilians, and we will if talks fail. This interpretation is stronger because it aligns with Hezbollah's historical pattern of using calibrated violence to influence negotiations and to wrap up the OSINT indicators and dual lens predictions. Watch for three things. First, check Sentinel. One SAR imagery of Cargyland Oil Terminal to verify Bloomberg's report of halted oil loading and empty docks. Second, monitor flight radar 24 for any Iranian military cargo flights between Tehran, Mehrabad and Damascus or Beirut between 1800 UTC today and 06000 UTC tomorrow. Third, track the Telegram channel Siberian News for any change in posting cadence or content regarding the seized vessel in the Strait of Hormuz over the next 48 hours. Looking ahead through a status quo lens, within 48 hours, the IDF will conduct airstrikes on Hezbollah drone launch sites in southern Lebanon, but will not escalate to a ground incursion. The Iran-Israel ceasefire will hold through 21 May with no direct Iran-Israel kinetic exchange. And the seized vessel in the Strait of Hormuz will be released by Iran within 72 hours following diplomatic intervention by Oman or Qatar. Now, looking at the same indicators through an escalation lens, Hezbollah will launch a second drone attack on a civilian target in northern Israel within 24 hours, exploiting the same radar gap. The US will announce new sanctions on Iranian oil exports and IRGC-linked shipping companies before 1200 UTC on the 16th of May in response to the Strait of Hormuz seizure, and Israel will suspend the Washington talks and issue an ultimatum to Lebanon demanding immediate Hezbollah disarmament within 48 hours. That concludes this Sitewrap. For more, visit sitraisr.com or subscribe on Telegram at t.me/Israel_sitraps. This is Daniel Rosehill signing off from Jerusalem.